Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. Paul writes in chapter 2, verse 6. He says, Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. A few weeks ago, a few of us here were on beach mission, and we were looking for opportunities to talk of our Lord Jesus with people on the beach in Lyme Regis. And one afternoon, I was chatting to a gentleman on the beach, and we were talking about all manner of things to begin with. And then we started to talk about faith, and I talked about my faith in the Lord Jesus. And he said, the trouble with faith is, he said, is that you have to feed it. What an interesting thing to say, don't you think? The trouble with faith is, he said, is you have to feed it. The man, in his statement, I believe, was showing some degree of wisdom and yet folly at the same time. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Rome in chapter 12, and he says, don't conform to the pattern of this world. That is to say that for those who haven't put their faith in Christ, doesn't mean that they don't have a faith. That man on the beach, he had a faith. He had all manner of faiths. I think his faith was that he couldn't know God. And he was feeding his faith. He was feeding his faith from the world. Our world feeds us, does it not? In fact, that's what Paul tells us in some of these verses here. He talks to the church at Colossae, and in chapter 8, he talks about philosophy and empty deceit and human tradition. Oh yeah, that man on the beach, he was being fed by the world. His faith was being fed by the world. Paul goes on in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and he says, don't conform to the pattern of this world. Don't be fed by the world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says, be fed, not from the world, not from traditions of man, not from philosophies or worldly deceit, but rather from God's word, something of truth, something of hope, something of substance that will bring new life and hope and power and growth to your life, something of stability. Paul looks at this church at Colossae, and he's so worried about them. He's so worried because of the voices that are surrounding them. It's a little bit like being at one of those eat-all-you-can buffets, you know the type, and you go in and you can walk along and just breathe in all the different smells and the tastes around you, and your mouth is salivating as you look around at what's on choice and you say, what shall I fill my plate with this evening? They can feel something like that in this world. Where shall I feed? Where shall I feed? And Paul writes to this church and he says, there really is only one place to feed. And don't neglect it, he says. And it's not human tradition, nor philosophies, nor deceitful ideas. But it is where you started. It's in Christ. Where are you feeding? What are you eating? I once had a patient, and I noticed one day that her teeth were wearing in a very unusual way. They kept chipping and breaking in different places. And I said, what are you eating? And she looked at me in a rather sheepish way and said, I know this sounds silly, but when I get a bit anxious and angry, I just eat hard things. I said, oh. I eat mobile phones, and I've eaten my remote control. And I wanted to say that's the most normal thing in the world, but I was thinking, that's really weird. Don't you think that's weird? Why would you eat hard things like that? It's not doing you any good. There's no nutritional value in those things. What are you doing? It's weird. Do you know, as the The people of God, they left Egypt and they were traveling around in the wilderness, and God promised that he was going to take them to a land flowing with milk and honey. And he promised to provide for their needs every day. He would give them bread in the morning and meat in the evening. And to begin with, there was so much joy at this. And yet after a while, we read that the Israelites started to crave the food of slavery back in Egypt. You say, what? That's weird. Don't you think that's weird? That God's given you all of this wonderful provision and he's promised to always give it to you and take you to the place of abundance and you want to eat back there. Isn't that weird? I think that's weird. But the strange thing is, there's lots of strange things, but the strange thing is that we, just like the Israelites, maybe just like the phone-gnawing, remote-control-eating lady, maybe like Adam and Eve in the garden who were given the abundance of all the garden and yet they chose to eat that tree that God had told them not to, we are just the same. Do these stories not prove that this week we will swap things of eternal nourishment, things that will bring you fruit and abundance and hope and growth, we'll swap that for things of nothing, things of triviality. That's what Paul's worried about. And so he writes to this church. And in these verses, he gives to us a number of words, a number of verbs. And some of them are linked to the beginnings of our Christian life. And some of them are linked to the ongoings of our Christian life. The two are connected, Paul says, and yet they are distinct. Don't forget your ongoings, he said. I read of a writer who talked about zealous faith. You know what zealous faith looks like, don't you? You've been with people praying, and you've heard as they've prayed, and you say, that person has got a zealous faith. They're all about Jesus. They, if you cut them, they'd probably bleed the scriptures. You know people like that? And this writer, he's looked at churches where they once had a zealous faith, full of that kind of faith, that love and a growing and fueled by a love for Christ and his word. And he observes how in a generation things can so easily change. He writes, and this is a very simplified thing, oversimplified, but he's onto something. He says, what is taken for granted in one generation is very likely to be ignored in the next. Maybe we've got parents who had a zealous faith, and we know what faith looks like, and we copy some of their faith, but if we're honest, the zeal that we've looked at maybe isn't in our faith. What is taken for granted in one generation is very likely to be ignored in the next. What use is a faith that doesn't grow? What use is a faith that doesn't undergird you as you go through those dark days? The onlookers look on at that kind of faith and they say, well, it's like a damp tea towel. You know, it's of no use. And so it is ignored. And the writer goes on and says, what is taken for granted in one generation is most likely to be ignored in the next and then denied in the third. That's a really oversimplified commentary of what has gone wrong in some churches. But what I want to challenge you with this evening is what about your ongoings? As a church, we can be so passionate about the beginnings. In a week or so, we're going to have a number of baptisms where we're going to be full of joy at the beginnings of the Christian life. And next Saturday, we're going to learn about evangelism. We want the beginnings of the Christian life to come to our community. But don't forget the ongoings, Paul says. Don't forget the ongoings. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, Paul writes. Having been rooted and being built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. What are the beginning words in this passage? There are three beginning words, two which you'll pick out very easily, and one I might have to just bring out. One of them is received. Sorry, one of them is taught, okay? That's a beginning word. The church at Colossae were taught. They were taught things about the Lord Jesus. That happened at the beginning. That happened at your beginning when you came to know the Lord Jesus. You were taught things about him. The other beginning word is received. They received something about the Lord Jesus at their beginning. And so did you, if you're a believer this evening. And then the third beginning word, I just need to, it's not very clear in the ESV, but the word rooted is a perfect participle, which means it has its beginning in the past, and then its effects continue into the present. Having been rooted. At the beginning, you were taught and you received, and you were rooted in Christ. And the ongoing words, so walk in him, is a command that we need to do. Walk in him, a present participle, being built up in him. That's the second ongoing word. And then established, being established in the faith, is the third ongoing word. So I want to take you back to your beginning this evening. And then to see that it's really from your beginnings that you carry on with your ongoings. At the beginning, you were taught and you received Christ. This word received, I wonder what you think it means. Maybe we think of Christian contemporary jargon of inviting the Lord Jesus into my heart. It's a nice way of talking about the beginning of the Christian life. But Paul here means something a little bit more than that. This word received is used by Paul in a number of places in the New Testament. And it's almost like a technical term he uses to receiving something that he is delivering to us. Let me prove my point to you. You can turn if you want to. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Later on in the service, we're going to gather around this table. I'm going to read these verses to you. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you." What does he deliver? Well, he delivered something of the pattern of this meal, something of what went on in that Last Supper with the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 5, he talks about, "For I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received." What did he deliver? "That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Friends, there are teachings that you have to understand and receive about the Lord Jesus at your beginning. But Paul also uses the word to describe how we act, the traditions of God. We have to receive too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. "Finally, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you're doing, that you do so more and more." He uses this word a number of times. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 2. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. There are traditions of man that will seek to shape you. But as Christians, we receive the traditions of God. How to live, as he tells us. There are ideas in the world that will seek to shape you. But we receive the ideas of God. That's what happens at the beginning of the Christian life. What were these ideas that the church at Colossae had to receive? Let's look at our verses once again. "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord." This is the most simple summary I think there is of what you need to receive at the beginning of your Christian life. That Jesus is the Christ and Jesus is the Lord. What did Epaphras have to teach these people at Colossae that they might receive this? They were Gentiles. They wouldn't have known what the Christ was or the Messiah. So Epaphras would have to go through the Old Testament and show them God's promises that he was going to send one Christ who would reverse the curse. He would be a king. He would be a suffering servant. Upon him, the hopes of Israel were resting. And then he took to Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth, And Epaphras would say, "He is the Christ. Receive him." I read of a missionary who went to Somalia. And he went to a refugee camp. And he went up to a group of young Muslim men on this refugee camp. And he said, "Do you know my friend Jesus?" Now, I wonder, do you think that's a good way of evangelizing? I think it's great, isn't it? Maybe you've said that to your friends. "Do you know my friend Jesus?" Well, he said this to these young men in this refugee camp, and he watched as what appeared to be chaos ensued. They all started arguing in loud voices and pointing and shouting. And he thought he started a riot. And then one of them turned to him and said, "We don't know your friend Jesus. Although Muhammad thinks that he's in the refugee camp down the road." They had no concept of the Christ. They had no concept of this man who'd come, whom we need to put our hopes in. And it made me think, I wonder what my friends think about the Lord Jesus. As I get all excited about him, as they hear about the fizz of what we do at church, do they actually know who Jesus is? Maybe we need to go further back with our friends and talk about the Christ. Explain the promises of the scripture that Jesus is the Christ and that he's the Lord. Epaphras would have had to explain verses like Colossians chapter 1 verses 15 to 20 that describe the glory of our God who stepped down to become man. And he died, and he's risen, and he's declared by his resurrection to be the Lord of the living and the dead. Can you just picture the faces of those Gentiles in Colossae? As Paul said this morning, in such a simple message, their eyes suddenly opened, and their ears were unstopped, and they said, "We receive it. We receive this message that Jesus is the Christ. And he is the Lord of all." And at that moment, as they received him, they have a look at our verses again. What else happens at the beginning of your Christian life? Rooted. You have been rooted in him. It's not just a philosophy or an idea, this Christ, this Lord of all. But it's a person, it's a man. It's one who is filled with the riches of the wisdom and the power of God. The fullness of the deity of God dwells in him bodily. This man, Jesus, is one whom you can put your roots into. We are a bit like saplings, you know, thrown down into a rocky ground. And our roots, they wriggle around the hard, hard ground, blindly looking for something to sink their roots into. And then we find the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in him the nourishment that we need to find, the firmness and the stability that we desperately need. We find as we're rooted in him that we become like that tree of Psalm 1, who's planted by streams of water, who bears his fruit in season. Yes, yes, we become rooted. We cling to, we grasp hold of the one who can make us grow, who can hold us up by his powerful right arm, who loves us and is bringing us and drawing us and guiding us. Who else can you put your roots into but Jesus? So that was our beginning. That's how it all started. But what about your ongoings? What are you feeding on? Paul carries on. Let's read our verses again. These are great verses to learn, you know. "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Do you like walking? If Paul said to you this evening, how's your walk? I wonder what you'd reply. "Well, I've done 10,000 steps. Or maybe you describe your gait. But Paul doesn't want to know about your steps or your gait. He wants to know about your walk. He wants to know about your life. How are you living? What kind of words are coming out of your mouth? What are you doing with your life? How are you spending your time? What are you thinking about? What are those motives that drive you? What gets you up in the morning? How are you walking, Paul would say to you. The idea of walking brings the idea of destination. Where are you walking to? It brings the idea of progress. You know, before you were a Christian, you were walking aimlessly. Where were you heading? I don't know. Was there any progress in your life? No, there wasn't. But now you're rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you've received something of the ideas and the life of God. You've got a new walk. And you're walking with him. In fact, you're walking in him. In the Old Testament, the prophet Amos asked the question, can two walk together unless they agree? The idea of walking is you do it with somebody else. Can you walk together if you don't agree? Have you tried walking together when you've had an argument with somebody? And it's very awkward, isn't it? It's very awkward. There's that stifling silence and that tension in the air. It's not an enjoyable walk. But the wonderful thing is that if you receive Christ and you're rooted in him, then your walk now is altogether different. You now can walk with your God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. Not, I'll show you the way, come this way. He says, I am the way. As you become rooted in him, you walk with God. You couldn't do that before. You couldn't do that before, but now you can. As you begin this new life, as you've received and you're rooted, you're now walking with God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that walk's going to change you. Your walk is the outward manifestation of what it means to receive Christ as Lord. People look at you and they see the indwelling presence of Christ dwelling in you, molding you, shaping you, making you like him. What does it mean to walk in him? But I encourage you to sit down and read the letter of the Colossians. And in chapter 3, you'll find that walking in him is going to mean, it's going to mean getting rid of sexual immorality and evil desires and covetousness and anger and malice and slander and that old way of talking. It's going to change now that you're rooted in him and you've received him and you're walking in him. It's going to mean that as people look at your life, chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, they're going to see that here's one who shows kindness and patience and love and forgiveness. Chapter 3, verse 19, it's going to mean, husbands, that you now love your wives. And wives, that you're going to submit to your husbands now that you're walking in him. Because Christ is doing things in you. You're in him and he's shaping you and molding you and he's for you. The week before last, we were camping in the New Forest and we go with a group of friends and every time we go, on the Saturday, we walk into Lymington. You know the market in Lymington. And every time we go, it rains. It doesn't just rain, it's pouring with rain. Every time we go to Lymington, and we do the same things in the rain. We go and get chips, and we go and sit in the harbour in the rain, and soggy chip packets. We've got numerous photos of various years smiling in the rain with our soggy chip packets. And then I go to the coffee shop down on the cobbled way, and it's the same man in there each year. And I'll go in and I'll say, I'll have a cup of I'll have a latte, please. And then I'll say, how was your year? And he told me about his year. He struggled this year. And I told him about my year a little bit. And he made me this coffee. And I put it on the side and I touched it and I smelt it. And it looked so good. And then I walked away to be with my friends. And I left my coffee on the little stand there. And I came rushing back and I said, I forgot my coffee. And he said, yeah, I thought that was rather strange. But the rather strange thing is that having been rooted to Christ, having received something of his delightful character in our life, that we might forget the ongoings. that he's changing us, and he's moulding us, and he's making us like him. Have you forgotten your ongoings? He's for you, to change you and to walk with you as your God. And it's more than that. It's a walk, but it's also a growth. Okay, let's look at our verses once again. For as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been rooted and being built up in him. Do you know, as you walk along and you walk past a building site and you look at the foundations, and then every day you walk past and you look and there's growth, isn't there? You expect to see it. In fact, as you're driving along, you purposefully turn your head. What's gone on since yesterday? Ah, there's another row of bricks. Oh, they're up to the windows now. It's the roof. Oh, they're putting the panes in. It's the internal decor. There's progress every day. It's shooting up. It's changing. Emily went to Barcelona the other week with Jemima, and they went to some cathedral. I can't remember. Familiar. What's it called, Jemima? Something familiar. Was it? I guess something like that. And it's been built. It's having been built for something like 47 years. Is that right? And it's continuing to be built. It's such a beautiful edifice. And the drawings are obviously so detailed and elaborate that it's taking year upon year. And yet you could go back every year and see what had changed from the previous year. And Paul writes to the church at Colossae and he says, having been rooted, being built up. The two are connected, the beginning and the ongoings. Two things to note about this. First of all, it's a very strange thing to be planted in Christ and yet not to grow. It's a very weird thing to go out with a seed, to bury it in the ground, and then not to go and check and see what's happening day by day. Because we expect to see growth. I don't put the seed there to dispose of it or throw it away. I put it there to grow. And as you put your roots and sink them into the nutrients of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as you walk with God in him every day, you're going to grow. And as a church, how we should delight and rejoice in growth in each other. As we meet in community groups, let us encourage each other. Do you know, I think a year ago you wouldn't have responded like that, would you? Because God's Holy Spirit is changing us and shaping us. We expect to see that our motives will be changing. No longer driven by selfish ambition. But year on year, we're now driven by something of the glory of God. Something of God's power is going to be seen more and more in our lives. Something of habits are going to change. Something of our aim. Where are you heading in life? What is your purpose? It's going to become more and more noticeable. Our goals are no longer the same as that of the world, but now we're aiming for holiness and Christ-likeness. To become like him. What is our reward now? It's not just earthly treasure like we were thinking about this morning. But it is indeed to be with our God. And to enjoy the delightful experience of walking with him in Christ every day. We're growing. But the other thing, just a note about this. Not only would it be strange to be planted in Christ and yet not to grow. It would equally be really strange if I went to the garden and I planted my geranium over here and to go out and find that my geranium was growing over there. That would be really weird, wouldn't it? Because it grows where its roots are. And if you're rooted in Christ, then you're not going to grow somewhere else. So I ask you this evening, what are you feeding on? You feed on where your roots are. You feed on Christ. Don't feed on the world, its traditions and philosophies. Where do you get your food from? Is it from TV? Is it from that cereal box set? Or is it from God's word? Lastly, just very briefly. So let's just come back to our verses just once again. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been rooted and being built up in him and established in the faith just as you were taught. You were taught at the beginning. What does your ongoing look like? It looks like being established in the faith. We don't remain babies. When I was just 7 years old, I understood enough about the Lord Jesus Christ to come and confess my sins to him and put my trust in him for saving faith. But I didn't know much about God's love. I didn't know much about God's grace. And I didn't know much about the promises and his covenants. And I didn't know what was ahead of me and the glories that are going to last for all eternity. I didn't know what it was to be sustained through difficult and dark days. But you know, the Christian life is an ongoing walk with him where you become established in the faith, where things of God's word are so delightful that we fill our minds and our hearts and become strong and firm so that we're not bashed around by the storms of life. But we really are like that tree planted by streams of water. Yes, let's help each other to be established in our faith. And the whole thing is wrapped up in abounding thanksgiving. It's a picture of a goblet of wine that is just overflowing. It's hard to control such a cup, isn't it, that was just overflowing. And it was hard for the false teachers in Colossae to control a church that was overflowing and abounding with thankfulness. Brothers and sisters, as I finish, what were your beginnings and how are your ongoings? Where are you feeding and what are you feeding on? And I want to just be rather specific as we finish. Let's come back to that man on the beach. I was thinking, what should I have said to him? What would you have said to him? The trouble with faith, he said, is that you have to feed it. What would you say to him? I think now I take him to these verses. And I'd say, you know, it's not a trouble. The ongoings of the Christian life aren't a trouble, I'd say. Yes, the beginnings are joy and delight as I've put my roots down in him. And my ongoings are equally joyful and delightful. As I walk in Christ with God every day, becoming established in something of truth and firmness rather than the traditions of this world. Yes, I think I'd do that. Maybe you're like that man. Maybe you've been being fed by this world. Might I encourage you this evening to make your beginning this evening. Receive Christ and put your roots into his life-giving promises, all that he's done and is for you. But what about the one who says, well, I've put my roots in him, but if I'm honest, Adam, my ongoings aren't really so good. My ongoings are rather wavering. I have been feeding on the world. Friends, might I bring you back to gain a glimpse once again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read to you of who he is once again. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. And by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Friends, might I hold my Lord Jesus up to you this evening, and might you marvel at who he is. Let us be a church that sinks our roots into him for our beginnings, and then continues not wavering from him, but continuing in our ongoings, feeding on him and his living word. Maybe you are suffering under the strength of temptation at the moment. You're listening to the deceitful lies of Satan that makes our temptation seem so alluring and so promising, and yet delivering only emptiness and shame. Might you come back this week to your ongoings that stem from your beginnings in him who is altogether delightful, who's died and risen from the grave. There are those amongst us who are about to go to university. Can I just say a word to you? As you go to university, you're going to be surrounded by the traditions of man. And you're going to be surrounded by the philosophies of this world, and indeed, the empty deceptions of this world. And if you go thinking that you don't need to worry about your ongoings, then friends, it's not going to turn out very well. Can I stress that as a church, we're going to be praying for you. And we're going to be praying that these words would be true of you. That having received Christ Jesus the Lord, that you're going to go and you're going to walk in him. That having been rooted in him, that you will continue to be built up in him. And that you'll continue to be established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. We're going to finish by singing a wonderful hymn. We're going to sing a hymn of confidence that we place our hope on nothing less than the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to shift from that hope. Whatever culture does or teaches or presents to us, whatever the cultural eat-all-you-can buffet of ideas might be before us this week, fill your plate with Christ. Fill your plate with his word. Might your habits be those of the traditions that you've received, not that the world presents you to you. He is a firm foundation. He is our cornerstone. And so let's stand and sing of our hope that's built on him. And after this, do seat, and then we're going to gather around his table in a moment.